advance the next slide, Ray. Something's... Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. At the place, Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. The woman had come with Jesus from Galilee. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath and according to the commandment. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, the deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So he gave the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone. Christ arose. Lo, in the grave he lay. We can sing that together at this time.
Death cannot keep his breath.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Mary Magdalene came to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as a cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Here's a wonderful song that we'll sing now. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Oh, she died, our soul to save. Hallelujah. Where all victory away.
Stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Sing this song.
I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Walks with me and talks with me, long life here away. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world, my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is reaching through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, but Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my fair way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me, will he live?
After Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to many of his followers. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one waiting, visiting Jerusalem, who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?'" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe him, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead. And on the third day, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now, Thomas, one of the 12 who was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Little chorus, that truth given to Thomas, we can sing. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Finally, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. One occasion while he was sitting with them and eating, he gave them this command: Leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak of. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After this, he said, And he said this, he was taken up, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Morning may be noon, evening and may be coming again, coming again. What a wonderful day it will be, Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same, heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. We mourn and maybe, maybe evening and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, standing before him at last, the trouble of past. Yes, Jesus coming again, coming again, coming again. Morning, evening, and evening, and just a thought before we end this morning. It's thinking over these verses. We, Lillian and I, were looking through some notes of previous Easter sermons. Came across some notes by a man named Daniel Banna. You remember him. A wonderful message that he preached many years ago. I just copied down some of those statements that he said, and because they're so important and so powerful in what they're saying. Jesus' death was a substitutional death. It was a death for our sins. And Jesus had to rise from the dead, or he would have been inferior to Satan. He put death to death, as the scripture teaches us. Jesus overcame death. And here's what we remember. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, God would not have been pleased with Jesus. Jesus said, "It is finished," scriptures that we have read. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, then the prophets and prophecies from scripture would be false. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves that the scripture is true. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, Jesus' words would be untrue. All that he said and promised to us would not be true. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, we would not be forgiven. and we would not be justified. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, he would not have ascended into heaven and would not be making intercession for us and isn't seated at God's right hand even today. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, he would not have sent the Holy Spirit to us. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, his promise to come again for his people would be false. Just what we've been thinking about and what we look forward to. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not believe in the resurrection, you cannot be saved. As we've said before, Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel, and that's what we believe in order to be saved. If you're here this morning and you have not accepted that truth into your heart, if you're here this morning, you have not believed that Jesus died and rose again, then that's something you can do this very morning. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He died for us, and he rose again, and he is coming back again for us someday. I've been reading the little book of Jude last couple of weeks, just 25 verses. I keep reading them over and over again. Some wonderful truths there. In this little book of Jude, two verses that stand out that have impressed me in the last days. Enoch lived about 3,000 years, we think, before the time of the Lord. And Jude, in his book, this is 3,000 years before when Jude wrote this, and when the Lord suffered on the cross, was buried and rose again. 3,000 years before that, Enoch prophesied and said, "Listen, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all." An amazing truth. How did Enoch know the Lord would come with 10,000s of his saints? It doesn't say 10,000. That would be 10,000. It says 10,000s, multiple of 10,000. How many? I was thinking 10,000s times 10. 10,000s would be a million. And that would be a million, I guess? No. Anyhow, when the Lord comes, he will come back with thousands and thousands and millions of his saints. If you're a Christian and that happens, you will join him in the air. This is the tremendous message of salvation. I repeat, Jesus died for us. He was buried. He rose again. And someday he's coming back. And Jude ends his book, and I leave you with this little prayer, this little benediction at the end of the book of Jude. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen." Father, we thank you for the wonderful truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I just pray this morning that each of us here this morning might really hold this truth fast in our own hearts. Help us to, even those of us that have trusted you, help us to really believe that someday our Lord is coming back and will receive us. What a wonderful gift of salvation he has given to us. What a wonderful truth that he died for our sins. Perhaps even as great, what a wonderful truth that he rose from the dead and someday is coming back. So I ask your blessing on each one here today. Help us and impress this truth on our hearts here this morning. I pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Lord bless you all. You celebrate his birth, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ today.